Oh, it's amazing grace. Oh, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but and it was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did that and your grace will lead me home. And when you've been there 10,000 years, oh, bright shining as sun, begun. Maybe you can slip up your hand and sing it this way. Oh, praise God, 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 praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise. Let's stand and sing it to him like that once again. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God. Jerusalem. Gonna wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a bright and shiny crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Amen. You thankful we serve a great God? Amen. This is 135 in your hymn book. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, oh, I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die. Oh, I scarce can take it in that on that cross my burdens glad. Bled and He died to take away my sins. Oh, it should make us rejoice. Oh, then sings my soul, oh, my Savior God, to Thee. Oh, then and when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, oh my God, how great Thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, oh my to thee. How great thou art, oh, how great thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, oh, my Savior God, to oh, how great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, oh, my Savior God, to amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Amen. He's worthy. Amen. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. Lord, we praise your name. This battle, it's over. The victory. It's already done. Oh, I will overcome. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I will overcome. Lord, I praise your name. This battle, it's over. The victory is won. It's already done. It's already done. Are you claiming your family this morning? Thank you, Lord. My family is sealed. Oh, hallelujah. My family is sealed. Lord, I praise your name. This battle, it's over. The victory is won. It's already done. It's already done. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. Lord, we praise your name. This battle, it's over. The victory is won. It's already done. Amen. Thankful that it was done on Calvary. Amen. It's a finished work. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be in church. God bless you. I'd like to greet all of our visitors and all of our home folks, and glad that you came out to worship with us. God bless you. Lord willing, on Thursday, the 26th of this month, we'll be having Bible study for ages 15 to 30, and that's 7:30 to 9:30. That'll be here in the basement of the church. And then the following evening, Friday the 27th, from 7:30 to 9:30, we'll have Bible study from ages 10 to 14. So if you can come out to that, that's for the youth never married, and I pray that it would be a blessing to you if you can make it out. Have a testimony here from Sister Tina Bryant. Thanks for the prayers. My sinus infection is completely gone, and God has restored my health. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad to hear that. Sister Christy Heron-Bassick's boss, Brad Blankenship, requested prayer for his sister who is in hospice care, so definitely want to remember that need. Brother Joshua Johnson is not feeling well today, and he also would like for us to remember him concerning some unspoken prayer requests. Please remember my wife, Sister April. She's at home with having some back spasms. We thought she was going to be able to make it. We even started driving, but she just couldn't take the bumps on the road, so
you just pray for her, and thank you to all the ladies and brothers and sisters who are helping out with my kids this morning. It's a real blessing to be able to come to church and have some help with that, so appreciate you all. God bless you. Please pray for Brother Joseph Sargent. He's feeling bad this morning. And remember Sister Crystal Wright in prayer. She's not feeling well. We want to remember Brother Larry Sharp in prayer for a complete recovery. He had a small stroke last week, so pray that God restores him. And we want to continue to remember Brother Hoover for a complete recovery. I know he's doing better, and we're praying that he'll be back here with us soon, but we just want to pray that God gives him a complete restoration. So we've definitely missed him. If you have an unspoken prayer request, you want to make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. He sees each and every hand. Brother Stephen, would you come and take these requests before the Lord? God bless you, saints.
God bless you, saints. Let's bow and talk to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come again having the privilege to come into your house, knowing you, worshiping you with our fellow believers. We're thankful for that, Lord. But now we know that there's some that have faced some trials, faced some pain, faced some suffering, and have brought their petitions to you, Lord. Sister Christy there with Brad Blankenship, I know that situation, and Lord, you know Brad has lost other family members here recently, his brother to cancer and other ones. I pray, Lord, that you'd use this to get his attention and help him to work through the pain to the victory, Lord. Lord, for his salvation and for his family and all the things going on, just be there with that situation. For these other requests, believers that are facing pain and trials, Sister April, Lord, all that she's gone through, I pray that you'd give her a special touch this morning, Lord. Encourage her, lift her up, Lord. Lord, for the other ones that are facing trials, sickness, pain, Lord, there was a question asked one time, is anything too hard for you? And we know the answer is no. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is impossible with you on the situation and you, your presence here. So we just invite your presence to come amongst us, Lord. Have your way with this service. Move in each heart. Help us to open up our heart to hear what you'd have for us, Lord. If it's instruction, if it's correction, whatever it is, Lord, help us to be tender and soft to your voice and your will. Lord, we just thank you for loving us and providing and taking care of us. And we trust and put our lives in your hands, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Good morning, church. We're going to finish up the 71st at 7:1, 71st chapter of the book of Psalm. And I believe we're going to start at 13 and read down through, to the end, which is 24. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. My mouth shall shew forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof.
I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only.
O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I have declared thy wondrous works. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee.
Thou which hast shown me grace before troubles, shalt bring me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth.
Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto a shame that seek my hurt. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
God bless you. At this time we have a special from Sister Alina Houchins.
Thank you.
Sure appreciate that. All my hope is in Jesus, and all my yesterday's gone. Wow, that's wonderful. Appreciate that. If the brothers would please come at this time.
Oh, this little light of mine, yes. Oh, this little light of mine, yes, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. Gave it to me. Now I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, my Jesus gave it to me. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave it to me. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Well, all along the way, oh, I'm gonna let it light shine, and all along the way, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, and let it shine till my Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, oh, let it shine. Yes, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. No, I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow. Let's stand and sing it. Oh, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, Jesus gave it to me. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, my Jesus gave it to me. And I'm gonna let it shine. Why don't you greet one another this morning in the name of the Lord?
Bless you, Brother Nathan prepares to come. Let's sing this little chorus. And you just pray for the pastor, pull on the gift, and just be willing to receive what God has for us. I'm looking forward to it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
There is none like you.
Sing it to him this morning.
Lord, there is none, no one like you, Lord. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, and I can search all eternity long and find there is
more time together. Is that how you feel this morning?
Oh, there is none like you. No one else. A heart like you do. Lord, and I can search for all eternity long and find there is none
like you. Amen. What a mighty God that we serve. Amen. No one like him. You may know people of renown, famous people, political people, people of financial wealth, people that have power on this earth, but there's no one like him. No one that could ever compare to him. Amen. Good to see Eli back with us after his accident. Glad you're doing okay. And glad it was just stitches. They was afraid there was maybe some bone damage at first, but the x-rays showed that it was okay. So good to have him back with us. I'm glad to hear that the Lord protected him from the injury being worse. Good to have each and every one of you with us this morning, visitors and home folks alike. Amen. Good to be alive and serving God.
Amen.
Amen. Exodus chapter 15, if you'd turn with me this morning. And we want to pick up this thought that we've been looking at for a while. And we've been off of it a few weeks, but we'll look at this thought of the congregation. And within that this morning, I want to look at the thought of dealing with negativity. Dealing with negativity. It's easy for us to point out somebody else and say, oh, I know somebody that's negative. But I wonder if we realize many times how negative that we are ourselves. And if we're not careful, we allow negativity to creep in, whether it's negativity towards someone else or our own situation or just negative thoughts or negative words being said all the time. But I believe God can help us to overcome negativity. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. There he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I didn't know Rachel Marie was going to be here this morning, but I heard she was having some complications recently, and I just felt impressed on my heart for this scripture here specifically. Read your name into it this morning. Any of you that's sick this morning, any of you that is going through something in your body, maybe it's a disease, maybe it's a sickness that's tormented you for a long time, but we serve a God that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So you can put that way off in the future, or you can put it for somebody else, or, well, I don't deserve it, or it's for somebody else for some other age, or you can read your name in this morning and say, that's for me. He's the Lord that healeth me personally. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we believe what we've read this morning. That you're a God that heals our diseases. That you're a God that heals not only physical needs, but you're a God that heals emotional scars. That, Lord, that heals families, that heals circumstances. Lord, that heals mental oppression and that heals from depression and anxiety and all kinds of Lord, whether it be emotional or physical or things that the enemy would try to bind us with or drag us down with. But, Lord, we're depending on you this morning. Lord, I don't have the ability in my own strength to be able to deliver anybody this morning spiritually or physically, but I'm thankful, Lord, that I don't have to, but that I'm depending on a God that is more than able. I'm depending on a God this morning that's already paid the price for it. If we can just let our faith build to a place to where we could receive it. Lord, you don't have to come and die again at Calvary for us. You've already paid the price. Lord, as Brother Furman already stole the song I was going to end with, it's already done. It's a finished work. It's completed. Lord, we're not waiting on you this morning, but you're waiting on us. You're here. You're present. You're ready. So, Lord, get our hearts into a condition, I pray, where we could receive something from you, and we'll give you the glory and the praise for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You can be seated. I want to read this quote before we go forward. Brother Branham says this in What Shall I Do with Jesus Called Christ in 1963. He said, "In the nature of each age produces again and reproduces the reflection of what a nature was before them." So we find that history repeats itself. As I said before, I think early on in this series, we find that in this age, we have an age where people are trying to whitewash history, and they don't want you to know about the Holocaust, and they don't want you to know about things that happened around the Civil War and things that happened around the War of 1812 and things that happened around all these different historical points, because it's some of it's hard and some of it's difficult, and some of it, even our own nation was wrong in things that we did and the way that we handled things, or other nations. You go to certain nations and they don't want to highlight the figures from their history that did terrible things, but they want to promote the figures from their history that did good things, or that history has sort of had a way of erasing some of the things that they did do that was terrible, and it was only focused on the good things. And we find that the scary thing about that is if we erase our history, then we won't be able to watch and recognize for when history begins to repeat itself, because we find that history does and history will repeat itself, that there will be other tyrants that rise up, there will be other people that will rise up and try to do terrible things, but yet if we can look and we can find a pattern in history, whether it be for our nation, whether it be for our church, or whether it be for our own personal lives, if we can see a pattern in history, then we can watch for that pattern to repeat itself. We can see down through history that Satan has always tried to persecute the children of God, whether that was the children of Israel back in the Old Testament. We would see men that would rise up and would try to wipe them out. We would see a Pharaoh, and we would see a Haman that would raise up and try to destroy God's people. We would see even a Herod that was one of their own elected officials there that had been placed as a heritage of his family to rule over them. But yet we find that he comes and tries to kill the babies to try to protect, because he's afraid of another king that's going to rise up and come against his throne. And we find that even in our age, in the last 100 years, we find that there would be men that would rise up and would try to absolutely wipe out the Jewish people. And Brother Benham tells us that these things are types. What's in the physical or what's in the natural are things that will type the spiritual. And so if there was a move in all of these ages to wipe out the physical seed of God, then there will be a move as well to try to destroy the spiritual seed of God. In fact, Satan in our age is not going about like he did in the dark ages, trying so much to just destroy you physically, but he cares more about destroying you spiritually than he does physically. If he can see you backslid and serving him, he'd much rather see that than see you in a grave somewhere. He would rather see you doing something to bring him glory or doing something that would promote his agenda than he would to see you serving God. So he attacks in that way because he wants to try to destroy you spiritually. Jesus said, "Don't fear him that can destroy you by the physical part in the first death, but fear that which destroys in the second death." Brother Bam said, if there's a second death, it's the death of the soul. So we see that history, if there's a pattern, Brother Bam said their physical journey in the wilderness back there typed our spiritual journey that we're having now as a church. And I'm not talking about just the church of the Open Door or the church of this group or that group, but I'm talking about the collective body of Jesus Christ. You can't join this church. You can't go to a physical address and attend this church, but it's a body that we're born into by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit are you baptized into this body. So that's what we're interested in being a part of. It's wonderful if you find a good church. That's wonderful to be a part of it, wherever it would be or whatever church you would choose. That's wonderful as far as the physical location. You know, if you're being fed by the word, that's wonderful. But until you're born into the body of Jesus Christ, somebody's just teaching you intellectually something that maybe you can talk to somebody else about it and you can quote it. But until you're born into the body of Christ, you're not really a part of the congregation that we're talking about this morning. Now, Moses would come and he would be a man, a The Bible says that Elijah even was a man of like passions. Brother Bam said Moses had a temper. We find that in his own nature, here he tries to take matters into his own hands and he became a murderer. And it ran him on the backside of the desert because of fear of repercussions from what he did there by trying to deliver Israel on his own. Then God would send him back with a commission. Yet now he doesn't want to go. He has all kinds of excuses. I'm not able. I stutter. And maybe he said I'm too old. If it would have been 40 years ago, I had the physical strength, but now I'm too old. But God wasn't sending him with a military agenda so much as he was sending him with a commission from God to speak the word. And so Moses would come back, and now through the process of time, plagues would hit Egypt that God would send. He would have a man there on the scene that God could so anoint this man that Brother Branham said he could throw up dust and say, let there be fleas where there was no fleas, and there would be fleas. That he could speak and the frogs would come out of the ponds and the rivers of Egypt into a place where they were in their cupboards, in their bed, and everywhere they would go by the spoken word of God. And now God using Moses would deliver the Israelites from the Egyptians with a mighty strong hand. They would come out 2 million strong and they would all of a sudden be trapped against the Red Sea. God would once again harden Pharaoh's heart and send him after the children of Israel. And now they were boxed in on every side. Everywhere they looked, here was walls on one side and water on the other side, and now Pharaoh's army coming at them from the other side. They had nowhere that they could go. Scientifically, there was nothing they could do. Physically, there was nothing they could do, but supernaturally, God came down and did something. Somebody said, oh my, it was just a sea of reeds that they crossed through there. It wasn't the Red Sea. And a man said, oh my, said that's even more of a miracle then, that God could drown all of Pharaoh's army in a sea of reeds. That would have been more of a miracle. So we just take God at his word. When God says something, I don't have to give you a scientific formula to prove to you whether God is right or not. I take God at his word, and I see what God's word is producing. God's word can produce things that are not scientifically explainable, but yet we see them happen. God, in Abraham's day, would take a man who was too old to have children and a woman that was too old to have children, and not only that, when they were young enough to have children, they couldn't have the children, but yet God would move on the scene and do something and produce a child through them that would be and make this man the father of many nations who was childless, but yet now God brings forth the son by the word of his promise. So if God can do that to an old man and woman who were barren to begin with, what can he do in your life? If he could do that physically in the natural, bring forth somebody that didn't have any physical seed left in their body, what can he do for you spiritually? You say, well, Brother Nathan, I've tried to witness and I've tried to do that and it hasn't produced very much, but yield to him one time and see what he can produce. He can produce converts under your witnessing. He can produce signs and wonders following your life. That's not just given for the prophet. That's not just for the pastor or the deacons, but God can use you to have an impact on other people. Amen. God can use you to prove that he's still alive in this age. We find that they would come out and now God would part the waters, and as we looked at it a few weeks ago, they would come forth rejoicing. Brother Branham said they had a Pentecostal revival there on the other side of the Red Sea, and they were rejoicing. Why? Because they could look back and see that all the taskmasters were laying down there at the bottom of the Red Sea behind them, and now they go, let's read it again to make sure I have it right. How many days was it they went journey? They went a 3 days journey from the Red Sea, and they couldn't find any drinkable water, and they begin to murmur. 3 days after seeing the miracle of the Red Sea parting, one of the greatest miracles that God had performed up to that point using a man. God had created the entire world and everything that's alive. So to me, that's one of the greatest miracles that there ever was. But as far as God using a man to do something here, Moses stands and stretches forth his rod over the seas and the waters parted. To that time, it was one of the most astounding miracles that the world had ever seen. And these people are 3 days removed from that and they're already complaining. Didn't they think that the God that could drown their taskmasters, the God that could supernaturally open a sea, and not only that, but they would walk across on dry land, and maybe some of them would say, how is this possible? Maybe even right out in the middle of their miracle, looking around and saying, this land, honey, would you look at this? The land is dry that we're walking on. I can't explain this. How could we scientifically, you know, we've sat under the Egyptians and we've seen all their scientific wonders and how they could build pyramids and sphinxes and how they could get these stones and move them around. And we've seen all these wonderful things that they've done. And yet, how can we explain this scientifically? And yet they were right in the middle of their miracle. Maybe to somebody else, you couldn't explain your miracle to them right when you're in the middle of it, because if they can't receive the supernatural. But yet all you can say is, all I know is God's doing something. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I don't have a chart that I can show you scientifically. All I know is that I see God moving and I take him at his word. And here they would stand on dry land and walk across and see one of the greatest miracles that had ever been in the several thousand years that had been up until that time. And now they look around and well, there's no water. Nothing for us to drink. And they begin to murmur and complain against the very one that God had sent to deliver them. And finally, I can see them as they come up to this little oasis in the distance and they see some water and somebody gets over there and they get them a big old handful. Maybe they was the fastest runner and they ran ahead of everybody else. They was without water 3 days and they're thirsty and they see it. Oh, maybe it's just another mirage. And then they begin to see maybe some birds and things flying around it and drinking. They think, I don't think I'm that far gone yet that I'm seeing birds too. And they take off running and get ahead of the rest of them. They get them a big handful of water. It's the bitterest water I've ever tasted. How are we can't drink this. We can't stomach this. It'll make everybody sick. It'll make all the people sick. It'll make all the animals sick. And they still begin to murmur. And God said, Moses, you see that tree over there? Take that tree and cut it down and throw that in the water and have them try again. Now, scientifically prove to me what throwing a tree into a body of water has anything to do with making it not bitter. And if we find any bitter water, we'll cut us down a tree and throw it into it as well, if it's something that has a scientific pattern. But God was just giving them something to anchor their faith on to show them that, hey, I've still got this under control. And so they would take this tree and throw it in. Now they would all be ready to drink and they would be fine. They journey a little bit further and now they would stop at a place where there were 12 springs and there were palms, and they called it Elim, which meant the place of the palms. And in Exodus chapter 16 verse 1 it says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. The second month, the 15th day, a month and 15 days into this journey, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. First they had a Red Sea experience, and God comes on the scene and brings them through that. Then they have a thirsty experience, and they murmur against Moses because of that. And now God brings them to water. Not only that, but he makes the water not bitter. And then he brings them into a bigger area where there's more water. And they sit there and they drink for days. And now they remove from that. And they're a month and 15 days into this journey. And now they begin to get hungry. And the whole congregation, this wasn't, you know, just the squeaky wheels of the 1% or the 10% of the congregation that he always had to deal with. The whole congregation, Brother Trevor, 2 million people begin to murmur and complain against him and Aaron. My, I'm thankful I haven't had to go through that. We've had some complainers and some grumblers and things, but I've never had the whole congregation come up against me and say, hey, look, Brother Nathan, you're doing this wrong. At least usually it's, you know, half of them thinks it's too hot and half of them thinks it's too cold, or this one likes this style of music, or this one likes that type of instrument or whatever. But I've never had the whole congregation come up against me and say, look, this has got to stop. And this is what he was dealing with. 2 million people, and God gives a short-tempered man 2 million people to take care of. And we look at him and say, you mean he threw those tablets down? Let me tell you, I would have been throwing tablets down by this point in the journey, probably. Plagues and signs and wonders and a death angel and blood over the door to protect your eldest children from the death angel. And now a parted sea and water. And now you get a little hungry and you think God can't take care of that too. I want to say this morning, whatever your problem, look back down life's road a little ways and see all that God has did for you back there. And don't let the devil creep in and say, well, this is too big. Well, he fed you, but he can't clothe you. He clothed you, but he can't give you water. He provided for you, but he can't keep a roof over your head. God can do whatever is necessary to get you through this journey. Amen. Look back a little ways and see what he's done for you, and then realize, look, if he's brought me all the way down life's pathway, surely he can take me through this next little speed bump in my life. They would get discouraged. I want to look at this word again, congregation. This is a Hebrew word which means a gathering. A gathering. So you can't have a congregation unless they gather together. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, oh, well, Rahab, she had a church in her home, and that's what she did, so we're just going to stay home and have church. No, Rahab was in a city in Jericho where there was no message churches, but once Rahab came out of there with the congregation, the gathering together, the people in the wilderness, she didn't tell everybody, hey, you go on to the tabernacle in the wilderness. I'm going to stay in my tent. I feel led to stay back here and have service in my tent today. That said the Bible, never. So somebody say, well, God's just leading me to stay home and not go to church. God will not lead you contrary to his word. Amen. Amen. That's too plain this morning, Brother Nathan. It's just the word. So if the word makes you uncomfortable, this is probably the wrong church for you this morning. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the word. I'm ashamed of a lot of things about me. I'll be honest. There's things in my past and things that I've done that, you know, I'm ashamed of those. But I'm not ashamed of this word, and I'm going to stand for the word. He says, We look and we see this idea of negativity and that the children of Israel, they struggled with this their entire journey. Every time you looked around, they were finding negativity about something. Oh, we don't have food. And then God rained them angels' food, and they called it manna, which if you go back and you look up what the word means, it means what is it? They didn't know what it was. It was something coming down from the skies that they could eat it 6 days a week, but then they'd have to gather extra. They couldn't gather extra the other 5 days of the week, because if they did, it wouldn't keep over. But then on the sixth day, they were supposed to gather up some extra because God didn't want them going out on the Sabbath and gathering. So on the sixth day, it would hold over till the seventh day. And they couldn't explain that scientifically. How could the same food not keep Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday they would keep it and it would be okay on Saturday? And then they said, well, it kept for Saturday, so we're going to try it again on Saturday night, because the Sabbath then was on the Saturday, the last day of the week there. And then on the first day of the week, on Sunday, they'd gather it, and they'd say, well, we're going to keep it again, because it kept last night. And then on Monday, there'd be worms and wiggletails and all kinds of things in it. I don't know how you can explain that scientifically, but I believe it. And so God would bring them through these things, and they would see how God could provide. And then they would begin to complain and want to go back to the leeks and the garlics and things instead of this angel's food that she brought us out to eat. You know, some people complain about anything. Brother Branham, he says that's just about, My Redeemer Liveth, 1955, he's talking about Job, and he says that's just about the attitude of the people, the attitude of many today. He said, I have a hope that someday. He said, but Job had more than that. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. The positive side of it, no more in the negative. It's all positive. Now, that's where I hope I can get us to, not me, but where the Lord can help us to get to, because I sure need it as much as anybody else sitting here this morning, that the Lord can bring us away from the negative to where we can look at all the positive from this day forth. He said, I don't think I can do that, Brother Nathan. Well, God wants you to. I think we'll prove by God's word this morning that God wants you to. Brother Branham, a person's coming through the prayer line in 1953 in demonology. He says, how do you do? You believe with all your heart? You do? He said, thank you, brother. That's a good attitude. He says, but now I want to correct for you. Now, from henceforth, don't have that negative. Let it be positive from this on. Oh, God help us. Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. He didn't say, you know, if there's anything negative, if there's any bad news on the news, and if there's anything that the doctor's report says it's bad, and if there's anything in your financial situation that looks impossible, or in your family situation, or if there's something, you know, in your health, or if you look down through your family history and there's all kinds of genetic diseases and things, look on those things. That's not what he said. He didn't say if somebody said something terrible about your family and somebody's made fun of you on Facebook and somebody at your school has did something that's hurt your feelings, or somebody in the church said something and hurt you, or somebody in your family did something and you're ready to disown them. Look at those things. That's not what he says. Let's look at it again. Whatsoever things are true. You know, we spend so much time focusing on things that aren't true, trying to prove everybody else wrong. If we would just focus on the things that are true, we'd be better off. Whatsoever things are honest. Well, somebody did me wrong. Somebody out here is dishonest. Somebody out here did a dirty business deal. Stop focusing on that and focus on the things that are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. We focus so many times on things out here in Hollywood and things that are a million miles away from being pure. But the things that are pure and the things that are lovely, whatsoever things that are of a good report, if there be any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, Brother Nathan, in this day and age, where would we even find things like that to think of? Well, I got at least one whole book here full of them for you to think on, for you to meditate on, for you to pray about. Things that are positive, things that, you know, Brother Mark's sitting back here being a doctor, he could tell you that science has proved today, and it's not anything new to the bride, it's something Brother Branham told us in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, but science is proving today that if you go into the hospital and you're both, maybe you and another person, and you're both in the exact same stages of cancer or whatever sickness it would be, and one person goes in with the mental attitude, not a different physical condition, the exact same mental condition or physical condition, but one goes in with the mental attitude, I'm going to beat this. I've got grandkids that I want to see them graduate, and I'm going to beat this. I'm going to do whatever it takes. This thing isn't going to beat me, but I'm going to whip it. And they go in with that mental attitude, and somebody else goes in with, well, the doctor says there's no hope, so I guess that's just all. I guess I'll make preparations. I guess I'll write out my last will and testament, and I guess I'll just give up. The one person with the right mental attitude has a 90% better chance of coming through whatever sickness it is than the person that went into it negative. That's not Brother Branham anymore, although Brother Branham said it way before they did. But science is proving that now. A prophet of God would say it this way, though. Back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, he would say the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. We looked at it a few Wednesday nights ago. You know, there's attributes or there's senses of the flesh. We all know what those are. There's attributes or senses of the spirit. Brother Branham taught us what those are. But then he tells us when you get down on that inner man, on the soul, there's only one channel that God can reach you through, and that is self-will, that you have to decide, am I going to believe or am I going to disbelieve? And God has plenty of word for you to believe, but the same belief that will take something away, a sickness or a trouble or a trial or a discouragement, whatever it would be, the same faith in something that will bring you through it, doubt in the same thing will take you right back to it. So the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. You say, well, Brother Nathan, isn't that mind over matter? No, it's word over matter. Mind over, see, there's a difference, and it's a thin line. The Pentecostal movement, they have this idea, or the evangelical movement, they have this idea of name it and claim it. You want a Ferrari? Bless God, name it and claim it, honey. You want a bigger house? Bless God, name it and claim it, honey. But see, that's your own mental idea. That's your own mental thought. God's word never promised me a Ferrari, but he did promise me he would provide for my needs. Now, I'll be honest with you this morning. I don't need a Ferrari, but I do need something to be able to get me from point A to point B. Now, I know some people, they don't like technology. They think technology is just completely of the devil. And so they don't want you to read your Bible on an iPad, or they don't want you to put up a quote on a screen or anything like that because they're so against technology. Well, I would encourage them to go back and find them a scroll then that was handwritten, because the printing press is technology. It may be old technology now, but it's technology. And the same printing press that can print your Bible can go and print a filthy magazine. The same printing press can do it, but yet it's a choice. Are you going to use it for the right thing, or are you going to use it for the wrong thing? And any technology, whether it's the telephone, whether it's the smartphone, the dumb phone, the middle class phone, whatever it is, the flip phone, it can be used for a good thing or a bad thing. Brother Bram said the newspaper can be used for a good thing or a bad thing. Some of you use it to roll it up and whip your dog or your kids with it. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I guess it depends on your attitude. But it can be used for a good thing, or it can be used for a bad thing. You know, conversations, anything, technology. He said the TV could be used for a good thing, but sadly, most of it's used for bad things. But yet, the same TV that can play some pornographic filth or some TV show that's not fit to watch can play the 20th century prophet on it. So it can be used for a good thing or a bad thing. The same stereo that can be used, or the same iPad or whatever you'd play it on, iPod or iPhone or whatever you would choose, or Samsung Galaxy for those of you that haven't caught the light yet, haven't seen the... whatever you would use to play it on, you can use it to play some filthy song with vulgar language and explicit terms and ideas, or you can use it to sit there and hear, "Good evening, friends," and hear the voice of God for our age. So it's what you use it for. And Satan does try to come in and pervert technology. But yet you can take that and make it something that you can use for the glory of God and use for a benefit. Now, I don't even remember how I got on all that, but maybe that'll help somebody this morning. But when we go to do something, whatever it would be, the right mental attitude towards something, oh, that's how I got on it, name it and claim it. The Pentecostal idea of name it and claim it was mind over matter, but that's just a hair's breadth away from the real truth, is that it's not taking your own thought and projecting your own thought, I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need, but it's taking the word of God and seeing the literal reality of his promises and saying, I choose. I choose to believe. I choose by faith to accept what the Word of God has already said about me. Not my thought that I'm projecting, but the very thoughts of God that I will project over my life, that I will speak over my own life and my children's life. I am going to project those and accept those, and I'm going to take the mental attitude that they are right and that they are for me and that all the gates of hell can't keep them away from me, and it will produce the Word of God in your life. Or you can let the devil say, well, that was for somebody from another age, or it was somebody else that lives better than me, or it was for, you know, I don't have the faith, or I'm not a good enough Christian. We'll read a quote in a moment. Brother Branham said, that's exactly the language the devil wants you to talk. But God wants good things for you. A greater than Solomon is here, 1958. You cannot get anything from God with a negative thought. Maybe we should hang that one on our refrigerators and our bathroom mirrors and our car mirrors. You cannot get anything from God with a negative thought. Oh, well, I just don't know, Brother Nathan. You know, my family, our genetics, this is just something in our family that's been handed down. My great-great-granddaddy had heart trouble, so I guess I'll have heart trouble too. Don't expect to get anything from God with that negative thought. Well, I've tried, Brother Nathan, but my family situation or my job situation or my school situation, I just don't see any hope at all. That's how the devil wants you to see it. That's the little bubble that the devil wants you to look at it through. But he says you cannot get anything from God with a negative thought. Again, Mary's belief, 1959, let's be positive in our thinking. Again, God using his gift, 1956, make every word positive and every thought positive. Now, it's easy for me to get up here and read this. It's another thing for us all to put it into action come Monday. Amen. That's for the pastor, too. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Brother Branham said, his southern mammy used to say, Make every word positive and every thought positive. I'm reminded, of John the Baptist's daddy when the angel came to him. And Brother Bram said, I think it's in that sermon we just read a quote from, Mary's Belief. He said, now Mary, God came and told her something through an angel. And the angel was just repeating what Isaiah by prophecy had spoken several hundred years before, that a virgin was going to conceive. But now an angel comes and identifies, goodness gracious, an angel comes and identifies her personally as, you're the one that's going to fulfill this. I thank God in this age that there have been promises of the bride throughout the entire Bible, but then a prophet of God came in this age and identified you by whether you could receive that voice of the angel, that it's not just for somebody random once upon a time, but he's identifying you in this word that it will be you that will fulfill these promises. It will be you that will be the final voice to the final age. It will be you that has made herself ready. It will be you that is a bride without spot or wrinkle. Oh my, if you can make it personal to you. This word had already been spoken for hundreds of years. It wasn't anything new that the angel was bringing, that a virgin shall conceive. But what the angel was doing was identifying, you're the one. It's been spoken, and there's been a question mark after it for years. Who will it be? Brother Bram said every little virgin in Israel for hundreds of years prepared and thought, maybe it'll be me. But now an angel comes and identifies, it's you, Mary. Yes. Amen. You ever feel that way when you're listening to a tape and you realize it seems so personal to you? You think, hey, that's me he's talking about. Amen. It might be Brother Barry, or it might be Brother Anthony, or it might be some of these other brothers too, but I'm not just going to let it be for Brother Barry and Brother Anthony. It's for me. He's talking to me. Brother Green said he walked into that service in Beaumont, Texas, and he said he stepped in on the back there, and Brother Branham said, good evening, friends. And he said it was so personal, I thought he was talking to me, and I walked up to the front and stood there because it was so personal to him. I think every time we open up our Bible and read this love letter from our Lord Jesus Christ, or every time we put on a tape and hear what he spoke through his messenger for this age, that's how we should take it. So personal to us that he's not speaking to somebody in 1956, or Paul isn't writing to somebody in AD 68 or whatever it would be, but it's something personal to me. Make every word positive and every thought positive. My goodness, how are we going to do it? This angel would come and he would tell Mary something that, even though the promise had been there in the word, it had never happened in 4,000 years of humanity. It had never happened that a virgin had conceived. And now she has the option on the inside, down in her soul, by the same channel that you and I have of self-will. She can accept that Isaiah is a vindicated prophet and that his word is going to be performed by somebody. Or she can say, well, it's been, several hundred years and it hasn't happened, so maybe Isaiah was just a false prophet. Maybe, I don't know. She has the right in her self-will and her free moral agency to accept what Isaiah said or to reject it. Now an angel comes specifically to her and says, not only is what Isaiah said right, Mary, but it's for you personally. She once again has a right. The angel didn't make Mary do this. He didn't make Mary receive it. He just gave her a salutation of what these things would be. And she was troubled in her heart and wondered, how is this going to take place? What will it be? How will it be? But yet she had a right on the inside, even though she couldn't scientifically explain it to her cousin or to her fiance or to anybody else. She couldn't scientifically explain how these things would be, but yet she kept them within her heart and she believed them and she chose to receive. This is the truth, and it's not only the truth, but it's the truth to me personally. Amen. And now Zechariah, here he is sitting over there, and he's been a priest, and he's read the word, and he's heard about Samuel's mother Hannah, how that she conceived when she was barren, and he's heard about Sarah, how she conceived of an old age, and Rachel, and different ones down through the Bible that couldn't conceive, and then God would come and bless them, and yet hear him and his wife old in age and never having children, an angel comes and tells them, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be a fulfillment of prophecy, and he begins to tell him these things, and he, instead of like Mary, who quickly said, be it unto me according to thy word, he says, I don't think I can receive that. Now he had all these testimonies from the Old Testament that he could look and see that this was something that had happened before in history. Now the angel is asking Mary to believe something that had never happened before in history. And she quickly says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And now a priest who should have known the word well enough to know this isn't something new that God is doing. This is something that he's done many, many times. Surely he can do it for me. He doubts and he questions and he has a negative thought and a negative word towards it. And the angel just shuts his mouth until it comes time to name the baby. And then he begins to have positive words and his mouth comes open again. And I wish sometimes the angel of the Lord would do that for us, Brother Furman. Amen. That every time I'd go to say something negative, he'd just... Amen. I'd say, "Thank you, Lord. Whew, that was a close one. Couldn't have done that on my own. Thank you, Lord." And then every time I'd say something positive, he'd go, "Ah," and let me say whatever it was. We'd be a lot better off as Christians, as spouses, as parents, as friends, as believers. We'd have a lot better testimony if God would do that for us. But you know what? God doesn't always just come down and manhandle us, but he wants you to make the right choice.
Oh, yes.
To make every word positive and every thought positive. Now, Brother Bam says, and we'll maybe read a quote on it later, he says the farmer, you know, he couldn't keep the birds from flying over, but he could keep them from roosting. So you can't keep a negative thought from trying to come. The devil's job is to give you those negative thoughts. But what you can do is keep from sitting there and brooding over them all day and letting bitterness and hatred and malice and negativity and anxiety and all kinds of stuff come into your life because that you meditate on those things instead of meditating on the right things. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Now, Brother Bam says that same word, profess and confess, they're the same word. Actually, if you go and you look up this Greek word, it means confess, confession, the high priest of our confession. Again, Hebrews 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Hold fast our profession. Not come up at church and say, "Well, I need healing. I'm going to accept my healing and I'm going to accept what Jesus did for me." And then the minister brothers lay hands on you and pray for you and the presence of God come down. "Thank you, Lord, for healing me." And then you go out the next day and your symptoms haven't changed. "How you doing, honey?" "Oh, I'm worse than I ever was. Oh, it's just terrible. And I thought I got healed yesterday, but it's worse now than it was ever." Brother Ram said, that's the best sign that you got your healing. Don't waver in your profession. "I'm healed today and I'm sick tomorrow and I'm saved today and I'm lost tomorrow," because of your feelings and your emotions and your circumstances and your symptoms. But hold fast.
Amen.
Hold strong. Don't let get a death grip on your profession and don't let it go. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Oh, I believe we can find it this morning. Not by coming to Brother Nathan or Brother Trevor or Brother Layton or all these other brothers, but come and approach the high priest of your profession. And then keep a positive profession. Hold fast to that profession that his word is right, whether I feel right or not. His word is true. All things are working together for my good, whether I feel good or not.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Amen. He's faithful. "Oh my, well, I did this and I thought that and so and so over here and the doctor and the lawyer and my this one and that one, my spouse, my daddy, my this one." And we look at all those. Stop looking at all of that and look to he that is faithful that gave the promise. Law 1955. Brother Bram said, "Now it's a strange thing that this is so much thought of people. They say, well, I'm weak. My faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian." That is just what the devil wants you to say. You're just talking his language right then. See, you mustn't never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. Let me read it again. As Brother Bram said, that could stand quoting. Amen. We could repeat that one. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. He gives us some examples. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe Him with all my heart. Do you believe in divine healing with all of my heart? Let your testimony always and your thoughts, everything, never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. When it starts that, don't entertain it. Well, you say, I can't help the thought from coming. Well, that'll be like the farmer that said he couldn't stop. He couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he could sure stop them from roosting. So that's a good thing. You see, you can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't entertain them. Just pass it on. God help us. He says, no, sir, Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God, and I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify them. And God can only bless you as you confess that He has done it for you. God can only bless you as you confess that He has done it for you. You say, oh, but if I did that, Brother Nathan, what if I'm not healed? What if it brings a reproach? What if I'm not saved? What if I didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost the other night at the altar? God will never bless you with it until you confess it. He said, if you're ashamed of me here, I'll be ashamed of you over there. Somebody is ashamed to call Jesus Christ as their Savior, He'll be ashamed to represent you over there. God can only bless you as you confess that He has done it for you. You want your healing this morning? Do like blind John Ryan. Go and start confessing it. Now, symptomatically, I think that's the right word. Symptomatically, he was not healed, if you wanted to look at his symptoms. His symptoms were not gone. The attribute of his sickness was not gone. He was still as blind as he ever was. But yet in the mind of God and in the Word of God and in John Ryan's confession, he was already healed because God's Word had said so. And then a prophet of God had stood and declared it personally to him. You're healed, John Ryan. He came back through the line. I thought you said I was healed. Brother Bam said, I thought you said you believed. I thought you said I was healed, Brother Branham, but my symptoms are still here. I thought you said that my family was under the blood, but they're still out there running. I thought you said that this situation would get better, but here I am still in the same circumstance. I thought you said you believed. And there he comes. He said he was Catholic, so he needed something that he could do. Now, a lot of us, maybe you weren't Catholic, but a lot of us get that same old Catholic spirit on us that we feel like, Lord, I got to have something that I can do. I gotta have, Brother Bram said, if it was a free gift that Jesus Christ died for us, he said, if somebody said they'd give me $1 million and all they said was, I got to come and just adjust their tie for them, he said, it's not a free gift. They gave the terms and I met the terms of what it was to receive it. So he earned that. Maybe it was a ridiculous price compared to what he did, but they set the price and they set the terms. He said, if I come and do that, it wasn't a gift. I did something to earn it. And so Paul said, how can any flesh glory in the sight of God and say that we did something? He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of sin? But he said it wasn't him, but it was the free gift of God that came. Jesus didn't say, if you'll just pray through for 3 months straight and you'll fast and you'll do this and you'll do all these works, then I'll come and save you. He came and saved you when you were still a sinner. He came and saved us before we was ever even physically came into existence. And yet he loved you enough to come anyhow. He didn't put a bunch of stipulations. He just said, receive the free gift that I've given you. But he can only bless you as you confess it. But John Ryan had to have something that he could do in it. So Brother Bram said, just go and start testifying everywhere. Thank God for healing me. And he said he could hardly have church that night because John would keep standing up in the service. Hey, everybody keep still. Thank God for healing me. Amen. Amen. The prophet told him to do it. And he walked down the street selling newspapers and pencils and things. Extra, extra, read all about it. Thank God for healing me. Still as blind as a bat physically, but he was already healed. I want to say he wasn't just healed when a prophet of God identified him with it, but he was healed 2,000 years before that when the Lamb came and paid the price. In fact, he already had the earnest of it from before the foundation of the world when God looked and he saw a Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. That's how Moses could stand there and tell the congregation that God had told him, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. They were getting dividends on a down payment that hadn't even been made yet at Calvary. I want you to go to your bank tomorrow and say, hey, I've got a rich aunt, and, you know, I'm in her will, and I'm going to inherit $2 million when she passes. She can't have but another 10 good years left in her. I'd like to go ahead and start drawing interest on that. They will laugh at you and call security to escort you out of the bank. But that's what God let the children of Israel do. They were drawing interest on a healing that the price hadn't even been paid for yet. But yet God, by his grace, had already looked down through time, and in God's mind, it was already finished before the foundation of the world. Amen. Maybe your healing hasn't been completely manifested yet, but as far as God is concerned, whether the symptoms are there or whether the symptoms aren't there, you are healed in the sight of God. And let this mind that was in Christ be in you. Not mind over matter, his mind over matter. God can only bless you as you confess that he has done for you. John Ryan, extra, read all about it. And he goes and he sits down in the barber chair, and the man begins to put some shaving lotion on him and things and get him all ready for a haircut and a shave. And he says, hey, John. He looks over at the boys in the other chair. We're going to give old John a hard way to go here and kind of make fun of him. I heard you got healed down at that Holy Roller meeting the other night. I heard God healed you. He said, thank God for healing me. And his eyes came open. And he goes running down through the streets with the thing still wrapped around his neck and the barber chasing after him with the razor, saying, thank God for healing me. Oh, I hope some of our eyes will come open this morning and recognize the thing that you're waiting for. God has already done it. But it don't look like that way to me. Stop looking through your eyes and the doctor's eyes and the lawyer's eyes and your spouse's eyes and your parents' eyes and your grandparents' eyes and the pastor's eyes, and look through his eyes one time and see how the situation looks. Elisha told that boy one time, Gehazi, his servant, Gehazi looked all around. He was looking through his own eyes. He said, oh, we're surrounded. He said, God, let him look through your eyes one time. And he said, oh, my, well, it's okay. There's more with us than there are with them. If we could only look through his eyes and see the real picture sometimes. See, he's the high priest of our confession, Brother Branham goes on to say. Is that right? Hebrews 3. He said that he is the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we accept it and believe it and confess it. Again, Jehovah Jireh, 1956. There's no negative thoughts at all in Christianity. Everything is past tense. It's already finished. You see why you stole my song, Brother Furman? He didn't know what he was doing, but amen. God working on both ends of the line. It's all right. Amen. Everything is past tense. It's already finished. Well, I need salvation, Brother Nathan. It's already finished. Right. Amen. I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's not waiting for us to tarry on him anymore. He's tarrying on us. They had to tarry on the day of Pentecost and wait because the Holy Ghost hadn't come. But now he's just waiting on you to fully repent and be baptized. The problem is most of us can't get through that whole repentance stage. We come up and say, I'm sorry, like we do a lot of times with our spouse or our children or our coworkers. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have acted that way. But if you keep coming back and acting the same way, your sorry doesn't mean a whole lot until you have a change of ways. And that's what repentant means. It doesn't just mean, I'm sorry, Brother Layton, I shouldn't have treated you that way, and then the next way come back and treat him that way the same. No, repentance means to change directions. Everything is past tense. It's already finished. My healing, Brother Nathan, I want to be healed this morning. You was already healed at Calvary. What you mean is, I want to have the faith to accept it this morning. It's already finished. Everything you have need of, everything in the Christian walk. There's no negativity. There's no negative thoughts. It's all past tense. It's already finished. As I've said before, we fight a defeated foe. Amen. If we could really, truly ever get that into our mind, I know we try in our humanity, but if God could ever give us a full revelation of that, we could get through life a whole lot easier. As I've said before, if I was to come down and tell you guys that this next Friday night, I'm going to be fighting the heavyweight champion of the world, and if I was you, I'd come down, and if you're a betting man, put your money on me because I'm feeling pretty good and I think I can take him. You all would laugh at me and think, this guy is crazy. How's he going to be able to defeat that guy? I don't even know who it is right now, but he's big and he weighs 230 or whatever he weighs, or 250, and he can punch through a wall, and he's got fists on him like battle axes, and he can do this and he can do that. He knocked this guy out of the ring, or he knocked this guy out, or he almost killed this guy or whatever, and Brother Nathan thinks he's going to go down there and fight him. But what if I gave you a little other extra detail? Oh, and by the way, even though the fight is scheduled, he got hit by a semi last night, and he's down here in intensive care, and they've got him on life support, and they're going to wheel him in his wheelchair and his lungs, you know, being pumped by a machine, and he's going to be on that side of the ring, and I'm going to be on this other side of the ring. Then how many of you would place your money on me if you were bettors? You say, well, surely Brother Nathan can do that. All he's got to do is just walk over and unplug the power on that thing and beep, ding, 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 winner. We don't even have to unplug the cord on the devil. God already took the keys to his house and kicked him out. He's already defeated him. But we get it in this in our mind, oh, the devil's so powerful and he's so evil and wicked and he keeps oppressing us with all these thoughts and things, and how could I ever defeat him? God didn't ask you to defeat the devil. He asked you to believe in God that already defeated the devil. What is the Holy Ghost? 1959, Brother Branham said, this week has been a complete Calvary for me. I've been so close to the blacking out, as I would place it, till I was almost beside myself. But I have completely surrendered every will and everything that I know of to the Lord. Oh, we'd be a lot better off if we do that this morning. Like we've been looking at on Wednesday nights, yield your self-will and your pride and all of that. I've completely surrendered every will and everything that I know of to the Lord. The other night at around a little after midnight, the wife and I, after setting up and praying and talking to the Lord across a little footstool in our front room with two open Bibles, we consecrated ourselves anew to God. We'd be a lot better off, families and spouses and children and things, if we'd sit like this across a little footstool with our Bibles open and talking to God. I told somebody recently, whatever the conversation, however bad it looks, however bad the circumstance looks, however bad the situation looks, any conversation that you bring God into is going to be a whole lot better. Amen. Bring him into the conversation sometimes. The problem is many times we leave him out of the conversation. Well, I think and I said and we should do this and all that. Bring him into the conversation a while. See what he has to say about it. We consecrated ourselves anew to God for a complete service, that we would surrender our wills and everything and every negative thought and to serve the Lord Jesus. And I trust that's been your attitude too, that you've done the same thing. Oh, God help us. Always on the positive. When the devil comes and tries to paint a bad picture, say, devil, I know you want me to think that way. I know that's the nature of the age to think that way and look at the negative news and look at the negative thoughts. But I'm going to go and I'm going to read some good news. And I'm going to think on some good things. And I'm going to think on things that are pure and honest and truthful and holy and righteous. I'm going to think on those things. I'm going to get my mind not on the doctor's report or not on what the lawyer said or this one said. I'm going to go back and I'm going to get my mind on what God said. And I'm not going to speak all the negativity that, well, this person in my family said this about me, and this one over here thinks this, and this one thinks there's no hope, and this one said this, and this one's given up on me. I'm not going to keep speaking those things over my life, but I'm going to speak things of God over my life. I'm not going to keep telling my children that they're worthless and they'll never amount to anything. And my wife about got in a fist fight, I think, yesterday at Kroger. If she would have spoke her mind, at least I think she would have. There was a lady in line in front of her, and sometimes you just thank God for leading you and guiding you to stay in the car, you know. I stayed in the car with the kids, and she went in. That she said there was a lady in front of her in line that was just cussing her boy up one side and down the other, the little 12-year-old boy, calling him all kinds of things and names and curse words and things. And she said, I almost said something, but I figured she'd start a fight with me. I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. The Brian in me wanted to drive by and knock on her window and say, do you realize what a big idiot you are and what you're going to produce in your child? But I thought, Lord, is that you or is that me? I'm just not sure. See, sometimes we want to roll up our sleeves and get into it. But I don't want to speak negative things over my children. I want to speak positive things, things of the Word over them. And we wonder why we're not blessed sometimes more than we are. The Bible said you have not because you ask not. And then when you ask amiss. Because we want it our way. Lord, give me this and give it to me this way and give it to me in my time and my way. And right now, Lord, is when I need it. But instead of coming and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I see all these promises for me in your word. And I believe that they're for me, not for somebody else. And I believe that you will fulfill them in your time and in your way. And I'm not going to waver on my testimony. I'm not going to waver on my confession. But I'm going to keep saying it. I'm healed. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. My children are saved. The token has been applied. I'm going to claim those things over my my home, and I'm going to keep saying positive things about it and not keep testifying to the negative and let the devil get the victory. You know, the only way the devil can get the victory over your life is when you give it to him. Say, well, here you go, devil. I'll just accept my sickness, and I'll just accept my children's condition. I'll just accept this family condition. I'll accept this financial condition. I'll receive all those things. Brother Bram said it's like a man delivering a box of rattlesnakes to your doorstep. I always tease Brother Paul Layton. He works for FedEx, and every time he gives me delivery, I tell him, that better not be a box of rattlesnakes, or I'm not accepting it. You don't have to accept the box of rattlesnakes. And say, no, I'm sorry, you have the wrong address. That's Mr. Unbeliever or Mr. Impatient or all these others down the road. That's not for me. Right. Amen. Is it okay if I play a quote for you this morning? Well, good. I was going to do it whether it was okay or not. Let's just stand together. I'm trying to close. I was going to read this quote, and I decided there's no way that I can read it the way that the prophet said it. So I'm going to play it for you. And I want you to read yourself in this morning. In fact, he's going to help you read yourself in because he's going to have you repeat after him in a minute. But this is in the end of a sermon in 1961 called Only Believe. And I want you to make this personal for you this morning, not for just the congregation there in 1961, but let's make it personal for us this morning.
How many believes he now that he's Jesus Christ? It's time to rise on the scene. It's time to believe with all your heart. Do you believe it?
Amen.
How many will accept thee now as your healer? He's crossed the building back and forth, in and out, forward and backward, believing it. Do you believe it with all your feet? All your faith that you can? Stand to your feet in the name of Jesus Christ and receive your healing. Raise up your hands. Repeat after me. Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God. I renounce my unbelief. I accept you as my Savior. I accept you as my healer. I accept you as my King. I believe you now, Lord. From henceforth, my testimony shall never be negative. I will praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now raise up your hands and praise him, and it's all over. God bless you. I give you to yourself.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Why don't we just praise the Lord Jesus for it? From henceforth, my testimony shall never be negative. Amen. Is that your desire this morning? Let's bow our heads together as the musicians would come. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we receive this morning. Lord, your prophet has spoken words of promise and words of healing, words of salvation over us, Lord, that they weren't just his words, but they were, Lord, they were exactly in line with your thoughts from your word. And Lord, we received that as well this morning for ourselves. We've spoken it. Lord, we repeated the words after him. We spoke the words for ourselves. Lord, we're healed. We're saved. We're not going to have a negative testimony anymore. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. So many times we look to the negative and we dwell on the negative and we look to the circumstances and we look to the symptom and instead of looking to the deliverer, instead of looking to the healer, instead of looking to our Savior. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask this morning that you'd come down. Lord, not because I spoke the words, but Lord, because it's in your word. May every heart that's here, may faith anchor down in them, Father. And realize they need to lay aside their negativity and dwelling on the negative and constantly confessing and professing negative testimonies. But Lord, that they would speak positive things of faith and of victory and of your word. Lord, not just to speak their own thoughts and name it and claim it or try to have mind over matter, but that the mind of Christ would come in them to where they would speak the word and the word only. Help us, Jesus. Help us to lay aside every negative thought, every negative word, every critical spirit, Lord, and have our thoughts on positive things of you and speaking and testifying of our healing and of peace and of mercy and of grace, Lord. We have so many good things to testify about, Lord. Help our testimony never to be to the negative. But Lord, may we testify of the positive. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Help us, Lord Jesus. May it be so. Amen. You believe this morning? Amen. Let's sing this together.
Oh, it's my desire to be like Jesus. Oh, it's my desire to be like Him. Though often I have failed, Lord, I brought You much shame, but it's my
up your hand and worship Him. Oh, if you could see where my Jesus brought me from, oh, to where I am today, you'd know the reason why. Thank you, Lord. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see this way. You see, I too was so lost. Oh, thank God I found this way. Oh, and it's my desire to be like Him. Oh, if you could see where Jesus brought me from, where I am today, you know the reason why. Lord, I love Him so. Now you can take this old world, its riches.
Let's sing this together. Amen. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Oh, and tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving You or the kindness You've shown? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I've wasted it so. Lord, I know what I am.
your hands.
Try me, Lord,
if you think there's a way I could ever repay all I've taken from you. Oh, and maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I'm wasted. And so help me, Jesus. Lord, I know what I am. And now that I know how I'm needed, you so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand.
Amen. Let's sing this together. I believe it's how we can all feel this morning. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For I know He has done great things. Can you testify in your life how that He's done great things? Oh, I know He has done great things. So I'll bless His holy. Oh, somebody help me bless His name this morning. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Tells me I don't feel any different, I'll bless His holy name. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Even when He tells me I'm too tired to raise my hands and praise Him, oh, boo devil, we're going to bless the Lord anyhow. We'll bless His holy.
Appreciate the word of the Lord to us this morning. I feel like that was a good spiritual spanking for me, and I plan on doing better to be more positive. Amen. I believe we can all testify that we could do better with our positive confession. Amen.
Oh, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Well, I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Saving me. Oh, yes, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Oh, once I was lost, now I'm found. Now my soul is heaven bound. I thank you,
greet one another in the name of the Lord as you go.
Oh, yes, I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Oh, once I was lost, now I'm found. Now my soul is heaven bound. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Setting me free. Once I was lost, now I'm found. Now my soul is heaven bound. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving me.